Radio Prague News.
The Czech president is said to be the only EU leader to attend events in China, marking the anniversary of the war. Leaked information on drug taking in athletics also concerns Czech athletes. And Czech NGOs have called for an easing of asylum rules. The decision of the Czech president, Miloš Zeman, to attend events in China in September, marking the end of World War II in the Pacific, means the Czech Republic will be the only European Union state to ignore a proposal from Brussels for an EU-wide boycott of the celebrations, Hospodářské noviny reported on Tuesday. A Czech Foreign Ministry spokesperson told the newspaper that its officials had to reject a coordinated EU position due to Mr. Zeman's plan. It's not clear whether the Czech head of state will attend a military parade in Beijing. EU representatives are reportedly staying away from the anniversary events due to tensions between China and Japan, and because Russia's President Putin will be in attendance. Leaked data from the IAAF suggesting a high level of drug taking in athletics also concerns Czech athletes. The website of the UK's Daily Mail reported 7% of Czechs tested between 2001 and 2012 had suspicious blood samples, it said. Responding to the claim, the head of the Czech Olympic Committee's anti-doping section, Jan Chlumsky, said it wasn't possible to say at the present time in what way the results had been abnormal. The chairman of the Czech Olympic Committee, Jiří Kejval, criticised the publication of the records. He said media reports on the subject had been sensationalist and that drawing conclusions on the basis of partial results was highly unsound. A group of Czech non-governmental organisations working with migrants say that rules governing asylum seekers should be changed to allow them to reach Europe safely and ask for protection, Idnes.cz reported. This would thwart human traffickers and help save lives, they say. In a statement, the consortium of 18 NGOs said that those whose lives were in danger should have easier access to humanitarian visas and an increased chance of reuniting with family members. Around 1,000 illegal migrants have been detained in the Czech Republic since checks were stepped up in mid-June, and the issue of asylum has been attracting increased attention. A second investigation in the case of jailed ex-politician David Rath has come to an end, State Attorney Jiří Pražák said on Tuesday. The police should hand the case file to the State Attorney's office in the coming days. The investigation concerns companies suspected of involvement in the manipulation of public tenders in the central Bohemian region, of which Mr. Rath was governor. The police have already charged 10 people, including Mr. Rath, in connection with the allegations, which relate to 8 firms. The former Social Democrat Minister of Health recently received an 8.5-year jail term and was stripped of 20 million crowns after being found guilty in a linked case. At least 30 people were injured when 2 express trains collided in a station in Horášťovice in southwestern Bohemia on Tuesday. A spokesperson for Czech Railways said the last 2 wagons on a train travelling from Pilsen to České Budějovice were derailed, slamming into a stopped train going from Pilsen to Brno. 7 ambulances and 3 helicopters were sent to the scene of the accident. This year's Prague Pride LGBT Festival is set to offer around 120 events, including concerts, discussions, film screenings and theatre performances, organisers said on Tuesday. The week-long event, now in its 4th year, will culminate in a traditional parade through the centre of the city on Saturday, the 15th of August. Festival director Katarzyna Saparova told journalists that Prague Pride would make a bigger effort to also attract heterosexuals this year than in the past. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, President Miloš Zeman breaks ranks on a proposed EU boycott of Chinese celebrations for the end of World War II, And we'll meet up with a greasy item that's become a hit in the capital. And in this week's feature, we meet a student who sees beauty in abandoned buildings. All that coming up, so please stay with us. President Zeman's plans to attend commemorative events in China marking the end of World War II in the Pacific has made the Czech Republic the only country to break EU ranks on a proposed boycott of the celebrations. EU leaders are reportedly staying away from the events due to tension between China and Japan, and according to Tuesday's Hospodářské noviny, which carried the story, the fact that the Czech Republic threw a spanner in the works has not been well received. Daniela Lazarova asked Jakub Janda of the European Values think tank about the possible impact of this decision.
I would say that it really damages the Czech position within the EU and within the diplomatic circles as well. What is striking to me is that the Czech government apparently hasn't been opposing the president's efforts to go to China first. And second, during the president's last visit to China, he has been advocating and lobbying for a company called PPF. So that's very striking that the government isn't taking this into account, apparently, because our constitution says that the government is responsible for the foreign policy, and therefore the government should be driving the policy.
As you say, according to the Czech constitution, it is the Czech government which molds or sets the foreign policy line. Is this fact generally known abroad and recognized, or is this creating confusion abroad as to what the country's foreign policy line is?
Well, honestly said, our partners don't have to care about what's written in our constitution. They only care about what our officials, which the president, of course, is, what they are doing. So it only looks to the outside world that the Czech president and the Czech Republic, therefore, isn't following the European stance on the Chinese celebrations.
The thing is, the Czech foreign ministry has repeatedly made efforts for the country to speak in one voice. There have been foreign policy consultations with the president. You say the foreign ministry should do something, but what can it do? Because basically the president can do what he wants.
Well, he can, but the Czech government has to make a decision whether it wants to stand on the European stances, which are really clear at this moment, or whether it wants to support the Czech president in his point of view. And so what they can definitely do is that they can publicly oppose the president. The government can make a declaration that it doesn't support his visit to China and he would go there anyway. But it would be clear that it's not the position of the Czech government.
Would it not damage the country even further to have the president fight the government and so on?
It would definitely, but to my knowledge, it hurts the country's position even more when the government is opposing the European stance, the 27 states voting in one direction and the Czech Republic voting against all of them. That's more damaging than if the government would be accountable to its citizens and to its voters, definitely. There is the strategy of the Czech foreign policy, for example, which was approved by the cabinet and by the president as well, by the way. So they are going against the strategy which was adopted several weeks ago, and they are kind of ruining its own principles.
Jakub Janda there speaking to Daniela Lazarova. Now, the city of Prague has a new, rather unusual attraction, a special operational tram that lubricates the tracks to make trams run more quietly. The Facebook page devoted to the bright orange vehicle has attracted nearly 4,000 followers to date. Rud Frankova has more.
The special tram, the so-called Mazací tramvaj in Czech, has been in operation since the start of this year, after an increasing number of passengers complained about the unpleasant squeaky noise that trams, especially the modern 14T and 15T Porsche models, made when turning corners. Jiří Stábl is the spokesman for the Prague Public Transport Company.
Mazací tramvaj je v provozu relativně krátkou dobu, je to od
The Mazatsi tramvai has been in operation since January this year. It aims to lower the noise emissions along certain stretches of the tram routes. According to our results, it's been pretty successful. The tram runs daily since 5 in the morning till late night and covers roughly 200 kilometres a day. It has a special lubricating device which creates a film on the tracks to reduce the noise as well as to limit the wear and tear.
So far, there is only one Mazatsi tramvai in the whole of the Czech Republic, which makes it all the more attractive among its fans, who have been chasing it all over the city to take a selfie. For those who want to make sure they won't miss it, there is even a schedule available to establish its exact location. According to Jiří Stábl of the Prague Public Transport Company, people are fascinated by the tram's bright colour as well as by its unusual cabrio shape. Indeed, the fans of the Mazatsi tramvai all have the same wish, to take a ride at the tram's open back. According to Jiří Stábl, something like that might actually be possible one day.
The public transport company is pleased by the public's interest, which shows that people really enjoy technical sights. We are definitely looking into ways to please fans. We want to enable them to look at the tram up close, let them touch it and look inside.
If you haven't yet seen it, you can admire the city's most favourite tram in one of its many photos published on Facebook or wait for a chance encounter in the streets of Prague.
Ruth Frankova there with that technical transport hit. And now it's time for our weekly feature in focus, again with Ruth Frankova.
While most people regard decrepit buildings as something ugly, there are some who actually find them fascinating. One of the people enchanted by these modern-day ruins is Czech student Katka Havlíková. For several years now, she has been exploring vacant buildings across the Czech Republic as well as beyond the country's borders. She has even published a book on urban exploration, and another one is to be released later this year. I met with Katka Havlíková to find out more about the phenomenon and her own fascination by vacant buildings.
Urban exploration or urbex is something like exploring of abandoned places. It is exploring of places which were made by people. Mainly buildings, hospitals, factories, castles, chateaus.
When did it originate? When did it actually start? Can you tell me something about its history?
Nobody knows when it started, because I think people every time want to see something which is decay, which is abandoned. I think it's something like archaeology. Nobody knows when it started.
And how did you yourself become involved in urbex, in urban exploration?
So, once upon a time, when I was traveling to grammar school, I was traveling around one abandoned castle, and 3 years ago I wanted to see it inside. So I went to the village, when it is, and climbed the fence and go inside, and I think it was my first exploring of something abandoned.
So it was your own initiative. At that time you didn't know that there was something called urbex.
I didn't know that it's called urbex, but I saw some Facebook websites and I saw that some people making photos of these places, and I was interested too.
So after you visited this castle, you then became more involved in urban exploration.
Yeah, that's it.
And what do you personally find so fascinating about these empty spaces?
I'm doing it for atmosphere of places, because I love it. And another fact that fantasy in these places is working in another way than in casual world, for example. And I am inspired by these places for my writing, because I'm writing stories of these places and I'm writing fantasy. So it's my inspiration, that's why I do it. And making photos, because it's really unbelievable if you are inside. So you want to have something like memory, and I think photo is the best type of memory which can you have at home.
And in general, are there some rules that the community of urbexers has to follow?
Yeah, there are some rules, but it's up to each of community if he will follow these rules.
So basically they are just unwritten rules that but you don't have to follow. What are they? Can you mention them?
The main is leave nothing but footprints and take nothing but pictures. It's the main rule, and I think it follows most people about urban exploration. And another rules are that you can't break into the building. You can go inside, but you can't do anything which will change the building. You can't take anything from that building, because you can go inside, you can watch, you can take photos, and you can feel the atmosphere, but nothing to do with that place.
You said that you can't break into the building, but I guess urban exploration still involves a certain amount of illegal activity, because it usually involves trespassing, since most of these buildings are closed off and you shouldn't really enter them. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. It is an illegal activity. But urbexers in origin can't harm the place. But there are some people, for example, vandals and thieves, and they break into the building. So you can follow their way. You can go by the open window or through the broken window, but you can't break the window.
Have you ever got into trouble with the police for entering a building?
Yeah, once in Germany, when we explored abandoned hospital, they caught us because they thought that we are thieves. They were looking for three men in aerial of hospital, but they caught three girls and one boy, and that was problem because it was illegal, yeah.
Was it difficult to sort of sort out the situation?
They saw our cameras, our tripods, and they can't believe that we are inside only for making photos, because they didn't know what is urbex.
When you enter these empty spaces, often they are buildings that are falling apart. Do you sometimes feel the urge to renovate them, to save them from falling apart?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes if you see architecture of that place, or do you know the history of that place, you want to save it, but you can't, because it's not your business. You can only take a documentary of that place. You can make only pictures, but saving or rescue of that place is not your business.
Have you ever considered sending the pictures that you take to some initiatives that could perhaps change this, could perhaps save these buildings?
Yeah, for example, in Belgium, there is Castle Miranda, and there was a decision to turn it down. But so many urbexers were there, and they make a petition for saving this Miranda. And luckily, Miranda is standing for another years.
Do you usually visit the places on your own, or do you travel with a small community of people who also like urban exploration?
Both. Some people explore in group. They've got close friends, close colleagues, and they visit places together. And there are people which prefer going somewhere alone. But it's more dangerous, I think, because the condition of building is not good and you don't know who you will meet.
And have you ever discovered a building yourself? Have you ever made your own discovery in terms of urban exploration?
Yeah, I discovered one steel mill, which is in my village. And it was fantastic because it was one of the last steel mill in our country, which was in that condition. And I'm only one who have it in the pictures.
Where is that, by the way? Where do you come from?
I can't say it because it's for the safe of this building. But I can say that this building is not in that condition like 2 years ago when I saw it, because owner of that mill have all equipment take away from that building. So it's empty now.
You said you can't say where you took the picture to protect the building. Does that mean that when you discover a building as an urbexer, you don't share your discovery with the rest of the community?
With some people, because I've got close friends with who I go there, or we are sharing some locations.
Are you exploring only within the Czech Republic, or do you travel all across the world?
We are traveling all over the world if we have money and time. But Czech Republic is full of abandoned places, so it's good to looking around when you go to work, to school, to another location. You will see some places which nobody wants in photos.
And are there some places within the Czech Republic, some specific regions which have more abandoned buildings than others?
For example, in borders of Czech Republic, there are so many factories. And I think in Prague, there are so many houses, for example, flat houses.
What kind of buildings do you prefer? Are they industrial buildings or these apartment houses that you mentioned or old villas?
I'm not clear-cut. I like everything. But recently I'm exploring most of factories because I'm visiting that places with my boyfriend and his friends, and they love industrial.
And personally, what are your favorite places? Can you mention them, although you probably won't tell us where they are?
It's Car Cemetery in Sweden. It's called Bostnas, and I think I can say this name because it's a very popular place in last years. And it's really breathtaking because there are about 1,000 cars in meadow and in woods, and plants and trees are growing through these cars. And I think it's a really beautiful place, especially in morning fog. It's really scary.
And in the Czech Republic, what are some of your favorite places in this country?
It is the mill in my village. It's my best place and it's forever in my heart.
Ruth Frankova there talking to Katka Havlíková. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely pleased to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, thank you very much for your attention and goodbye.